It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I am joined, as always, by Gemma Kaneko.
What's up?
What's up with you?
Yeah, you know, just doing a podcast.
Oh, really? What podcast?
It's called the Cut Forecast.
Really?
Have you heard of it?
No, I haven't.
Wow.
You should share a link to that. Maybe I'll subscribe.
Yeah, I'll tweet it.
I'll write a review.
I'll tweet it in about 38 minutes.
Sounds good. We're also joined by Ben Kossman.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm fine. I like your shirt. Ben right now today is wearing a sort of vintage Randy Johnson Mariners jersey.
I am.
He looks sharp.
It's in fact, it is Jersey Day on the Cut Forecast, but no one told me. Dakota's wearing a Mookie Betts jersey.
Well, we're recording this on Wednesday, and Mookie Betts had a impressive evening in Baltimore, as he always does in Baltimore, and I felt the need to wear it in honor of him. Gemma is not wearing a jersey, but I will say you're wearing your strange Astros cardigan.
I am wearing my old school Astros uniform cardigan.
So we're all MLB themed.
I do have jerseys, but I never wear them because they're...
Wait, let me guess. David Wright?
No.
Do you have Verlander?
Ichiro?
I do have an Ichiro one.
Verlander, right? You got a Verlander.
I don't actually have a Verlander.
Miggy?
I do have a Miggy one.
Okay. You have a Mets one. I know you have a Mets one.
I don't have a Mets jersey. I have a bunch of Mets t-shirts, but I don't have a Mets jersey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, I have like a billion
we need
free
to get
t-shirt
you...
Friday Mets jerseys.
Are you going to get a Tebow jersey?
No, definitely
free
not.
Wait, Mets free t-shirt Friday is like the greatest tradition in the metropolitan area.
I have an incredible Mets t-shirt. It's a David Wright t-shirt, graphic tee, and it's just him standing in front of an American flag, like smiling into the distance. That's the it's the only thing on the shirt. It's amazing.
That's great.
It's hilarious. Hilarious.
All in on the American David Wright t-shirt.
Vibe Captain Mets. America. So
he is Captain America. okay, let's dive into our podcast here. We have just a lot to get to. I know I said I was lying about that last week, but I'm not lying about that this week. We have a lot to get to, and part of that is due to the fact that we're going out on Wednesday this week. Apologies, we had some scheduling snafus, but that just means there are more stories that we need to talk about here on this Cut Forecast. So my question to the two of you is, what is your favorite Cut Four story the past week? Ben, why don't we start with you? And you know, not everybody reads every article that goes on Cut. I don't read any of the articles on Cut Four, so, and I'm the editor. But Ben, what was your favorite Cut Four story that you saw?
Yeah, so mine was from last night.
Okay.
Hot on the presses, hot off the presses.
Off.
Yeah.
Off the presses.
Because it's not still being printed.
Right.
You don't want to read it while it's on the press.
I mean, technically, if it's digital, I guess it's always on the press.
It's never been on the press.
But it's always
What's the story?
All right. Anyway, I'll start with the headline.
Off to a good start here today.
The headline is, let's watch this Dodgers fan heroically snag a line drive with his bare hands. And why is this my favorite story? Because you might say, you know, I've seen fans make barehanded catches before. They're all cool, all great. This is my favorite story because of the fans' reaction after he caught this foul ball.
Okay, so just let's take a step back. This was last night. This was Tuesday's game.
Last night.
Dodgers-Giants,
Joe Panic, fourth inning, lines a sharp foul ball to the third base side. Dodgers fan in the front row snags it with his bare hand.
Okay.
Puts his arms up. Great.
First of all, bare hand catch. Impressive all the time.
Yes.
Right? I
sure.
mean, that's. I feel like that's the official position of the Cut Forecast.
Sure. There's varying degrees of impressiveness.
I'm just saying, like, that is always more impressive than a glove catch.
It starts
its life on grading a curve more ahead of the glove catch,
sure,
I feel
sure.
like.
Sure. Yeah. But it's not always more impressive.
No, not
maybe.
No, but more likely. Anyway, continue your story.
Anyway, so yes, he makes this impressive bare hand catch. Awesome. We see, you know, not a lot of them, but a few every season.
Mm-hmm.
But then the fan was interviewed after the game, and he was just, it's just a perfect interview. I implore you all to go watch this interview. He plays it totally chill, totally cool. He's from Malibu, exactly like you want a Malibu fan to be. No big deal. Totally had it the whole way. And then you find out it was his first foul ball catch ever. And he's played it totally chill. And it's just, it's great. I love it. It's exactly how I want everyone who catches foul ball to talk about their catch.
Yeah, I will agree. This is the most essential video I think that we have produced in 10 years.
Yeah.
Of baseball, probably. The dude is the chillest bro. He's very bodacious. I would describe him as bodacious. Absolutely go to MLB.com/cut4. See that. Gemma, did you have any opinions on this fan?
My favorite part of the video is when he's asked if it was his first foul ball catch. He's like, nah, yeah, actually, it totally was. just pretending that.
Yeah, it was a lie that he was really only willing to uphold for about 2 seconds.
Yes, yeah.
And he was totally natural on camera.
Yes, which is not always the case.
Right.
That's the chill bros of Malibu. They're always chill on camera. Yeah. Gemma, what was your favorite Cut4 story of the week?
So many great things happened this week, but I'm going to talk about David Ortiz, mostly so that you can't talk about David Ortiz.
That's fine. Whatever.
But the Atlantic White Shark Conservatory tagged a 15-foot-long great white shark, and they named it Big Poppy, which I think is pretty great. I think that's a pretty great tribute for a great player.
My opinion on the Big Poppy shark is that Big Poppy is lovable. He is huggable. He's jolly.
No, I think that it's actually great for this conservatory whose job is to show people that sharks deserve to live too. And like, we need to preserve their habitats and care about them. So why not make it one of the most lovable players in baseball to encourage more people to care about sharks instead of just fear them and make endless Jaws sequels?
Okay, there is a great room between let's not name a shark after one of the most lovable baseball players and you, I don't care about sharks and think they all should die. I think there's like a middle ground in there.
But it's also just a really cool gift. Like,
it is a cool
if
gift.
If you had a shark named a cool after gift. You'd be like, wow, I am a shark. I am but so great. I am a predator of the seas.
I think that people should have a healthy, respectful fear of sharks. And if there's a shark named Big Poppy,
well,
some
should
kids
not
don't want to hug the shark.
Have a healthy fear of David Ortiz.
That is definitely true.
If you were going to get attacked by a shark, wouldn't you want it to be named Big Poppy?
I guess that's true. If I was eaten by a shark and like my obituary in the Boston Globe, because this was in New England, it would be that I was eaten by Big Poppy, which is the way you want to go.
Right.
So really, I think you can't disagree with this naming choice.
Okay, fine.
I'm for it.
All right.
Thank you, Ben.
I accept that. I do think that we should be naming more animals after baseball players.
I think that more baseball players should get like species named after them.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's cool.
And like stars.
I think there actually are a lot of stars named after
them. None enough.
In fact, if you would like to read about some of those, you can search back in our archives and read a post that I wrote about weird stuff named after baseball players.
Why don't you tweet that out after the show?
I will.
And we'll retweet it. Okay. My favorite story of the week is also one of our more popular stories of the week. Ben Zobrist, every man for the Cubs. He plays every position that you could ever want. He lived everyone's dream and rode his bike to the game while wearing his uniform, and his wife Instagrammed it. And if you go to MLB.com/cut4, you can see the video, and you have to see it because it is Ben Zobrist bringing joy into everyone's day as he rides his bicycle to the game. I like this because I think that we all imagine ourselves to have that kind of childlike delight when if we were baseball players, and I appreciate that Ben Zobrist did this thing for everyone.
Yeah, I think it's really adorable.
It is. I would wear my uniform pretty much all the time if I was a baseball player. I feel like we've made that point before, but it needs to be stated again. I would wear it constantly.
Would you bike to work?
That is the one flaw in it. So I would probably not bike to work because I am very lazy. But I mean, good for him for biking to work. I wonder if he also like ostentatiously talks about biking to work. Like people in like your office might ostentatiously talk about biking to work. Wouldn't that? And like, you know, he wore the uniform today, but normally he has like bike clothes.
Yeah.
I don't know. I doubt it. He seems nice.
he seems
much
nicer.
Chill.
Yeah. He's pretty relaxed.
I don't know
about it.
Okay, but let's move on. Again, you can read all those stories, MLB.com/cut4. Noah Syndergaard is on the cover of this week's New York Magazine, or maybe it's last week's New Yorker. Excuse me, not New York Magazine. Too many New York publications. Mm-hmm. The New Yorker, and it's like one of the sort of New Yorker artist impressions of Noah Syndergaard, and it's really cool. You should go check it out. And I guess my question to the two of you: baseball players on the cover of sports magazines all the time. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, occasionally they'll cross over to other magazines, such as what happened here. And I think it should happen more. My question to you is, what other players should grace the cover of magazines, and what magazines do you think they should be on the cover of? Gemma, why don't we start with you?
I think that there should be way more crossover in general with baseball players and,
yeah,
and the rest of the world and pop culture and et cetera. So I have a couple of these. I will end with my favorite one, but just I'll toss them out, which is Josh Colmenter. He should be on the cover of Scientific American.
Okay.
He used to teach his teammates about various scientific processes of the world. It seems really interesting. And also, I think that part of Scientific American and other popular science magazines, like the magazine Popular Science, that's one too, you could be on that, is about bringing it to people who, in a way that's digestible and not necessarily like, oh, I went to school. And he seems like a fun guy. If he can teach a bunch of baseball players about nuclear physics, then he should be on this magazine cover.
And he is a Scientific American.
He is.
So
it would
works.
Be perfect.
Yeah.
Yes. I have a couple of players who I think should probably be on the cover of the magazine of fantasy and science fiction because I find their careers unbelievable.
Oh.
Terrible. It's a terrible joke.
Who?
David Ortiz. Great final season. Yeah. It's so magical. It's magical, Dakota.
No, I'm shooting
it's
that one.
Magical.
Down. No.
I don't care what you think. Ben, what do you think?
Sure. Yeah.
Thank you, Ben.
No, I'm going to be negative. That's a stretch. Well, I thought you were going to go with, like, I don't know, players who could have been from another planet, like Hunter Pence.
Oh, well, that's fun, too. I also accept him on the cover of this magazine. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I was thinking
he's
more
not
like on
American, but like, look what we found.
This is the contact that we made.
Yes.
But my ultimate pitch is this is just for like us. Like, I think that this person should have a recurring column in this magazine, but should also get a front page and then like spread in the magazine to explain and delight in his life, and that would be Adam Jones on the cover of Bon Appetit.
Perfect.
Yes.
That's a good one.
Because then he could just, I feel like if there was, I used to get Bon Appetit at my apartment. I got it every month for a year because the person who lived there before me just didn't change their address. And it was great, and I delighted it.
So you're the one who's been getting my Bon Appetit magazine.
I would have continued the subscription absolutely if there was just a page in every issue that was Adam Jones being like, here's what I ate this month. It was great. Like, go to all
these
places. That
would be really good.
Look at my cool pictures. And the first time he did it, there would be a whole like 5-page story about how, you know, he eats really well even though he's still a baseball player and travels all the time and all the stuff that he gets to see and like about his life. I would be really into that.
I just want to say he needs to start a food blog.
Yeah. Yes.
Like, it needs to happen. Obviously, October is a busy month for him. I get that. But come November, there'll be plenty of time to travel the world and to write about all of the various foods that you have eaten and will eat in the future. And I will read it. I know that you guys will read it.
Yeah.
I know that you listening will read it. And so please, Adam, I know you're listening. So do this blog for us, for Gemma.
He's got to fit it in around shooting Baltimore Chopped.
Yes, right. That's true. Yeah, that's right. Our reality show, Baltimore Chopped. Okay. Ben, what do you got? What magazine cover do you want to see?
So I have two. I also had Bon Appetit.
Hey.
But mine was a one-off special issue featuring Joanna Cespedes and how to throw a Cespedes barbecue.
It's great.
Okay.
I would like that. There's that one photo.
Are we going to get Jake and Jordan involved as well?
Yeah. We'll get our
need help. It's hard. My cousin tried to have a pig barbecue over the summer, and it was a total disaster. They only cooked part of the pig because they didn't realize how long you have to thaw the pig.
Oh, we'll see.
It's very difficult.
Then you need Yo to come help.
I know.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. Party would have been way better if Yo was there. Sorry, Jeff.
Any party. but really, so my main pick, and what I think is plausible, if improbable, is so Entertainment Weekly every year does an Entertainer of the Year issue in December. And, you know, usually it's someone from movies, TV. I don't think they've ever done anyone from theater. Sometimes
SMH.
Pop music. But honestly, if we all stop kidding ourselves for a moment, this year's Entertainer of the Year is David Ortiz.
Okay.
Sure. I'll buy
it. So are we just going to put David Ortiz on every magazine?
Yeah,
I think that's acceptable.
Yeah.
So that's my answer. David Ortiz is Entertainer of the Year on Entertainment Weekly.
Okay, that's a good answer.
I like that.
Who's going to write the big central article about David Ortiz? Or will he write it himself?
Oh, he can either write it himself or... So I'm going to plug another Cut4 post.
Okay.
I don't remember the headline of this one. But there was a video, I think last week, of David Ortiz's younger teammates doing their best Big Poppy impressions. So I would like this article about David Ortiz written by all of his younger teammates.
Oh,
that's
like
adorable.
That'd be really nice.
I would
read that.
Because I'm pretty sure Entertainment of the Year is always written by, you know, someone in their field who admires them.
Well, then it could be Derek Jeter.
Oh,
because he's in publishing.
True.
So that could work.
Yeah.
Okay. Now I'm sold. I wasn't sold to begin with.
I can't believe that you were shooting down any covers.
Because you need the right. Okay.
Oh, because we're not doing it the right way.
Obviously.
Okay. Well.
You need the right way of doing it. So like I thought first time person of the year, David Ortiz would be a good choice for that. But okay. I also thought maybe better choices would be people like Mike Trout or Chris Sale having great years. But then that's kind of boring. I don't know. And so then I thought, well, what is one of the most famous magazine covers of all time? National Geographic, the Afghan girl. Who else has striking eyes? We could have Chris Bryant on the cover of National Geographic, but then I thought that might not be good.
What would the story be? Just like,
I don't know.
Here's why Chicago serves these terrible hot dogs. Like,
wow. What?
First of all, whoa.
You know that I feel this way about Chicago hot dogs.
You don't like any hot dogs.
I don't, though.
It would be about how the Cubs are a great team and how the Cubs are like one of the best teams in baseball and could win the World Series.
That would be
the
story. National Geographic, because
you could, it's history.
You could write it as if they were actual Cubs.
Oh, that okay. Sure.
That's true.
Look, it's amazing how these small bears learned to play baseball and dominated the league.
That would be a great cover. But here's what I actually landed on, because that seemed like it wouldn't happen.
Okay.
That seemed fictitious. Rolling Stone, and the cover would be Bryce Harper, Mookie Betts, Corey Seager, Manny Machado, Francisco Lindor, Carlos Correa, and Addison Russell. And that group, they're all under 23 years old, and that group is the youth movement in Major League Baseball. These are the stars of the game who are all young. They're millennials.
Yes.
And Rolling Stone could have like a big portrait of like youth baseball. Like, this is the future of the game, but it's also the present of the game.
And they're also a jam band.
Well, and like, you know, I think there's a lot, like, you know, they come from all kinds of different backgrounds. I think it's cool.
But why would this have to be Rolling Stone and not any other magazine?
Because it's all about how, like, young people are taking.
Is that what Rolling
League
Stone
baseball
is about now? Young people?
Young people still subscribe
to Rolling Stone?
That's the idea of Rolling Stone.
Okay.
Look, you can judge whether or not they're accurately capturing that demographic. I'm just telling you that's, like, the point of Rolling Stone.
Okay.
Don't give me okay. I think that's a good idea. It's better than David Ortiz on the cover of Sci-Fi.
Whatever. My Adam Jones magazine would be amazing.
I know. Well, that's
everyone
obvious.
Would buy it.
Was,
yeah.
Anything with Adam Jones is...
I would get the National Geographic about real Cubs playing baseball.
Okay. Fine. Well,
I mean, we could write that story. Just saying. Okay.
I would not buy that. All right. Let's move on. Let's get out of fake magazine covers and talk about the real issues. On Sunday, during the Blue Jays Angels game, a swarm of bees descended on the field, sending the Blue Jays and the Angels running for cover, along with some other people sort of around the field. Every once in a while, you hear about this happening in baseball where bees will swarm into like a camera well or something. I have just a horrible fear of bees, and it, like, right now, if there were a bee in the studio, I would leave while this podcast was recording. I would not care. I would be out of here. So my question to the two of you is, what is your biggest baseball fear? What would cause you to run screaming from a baseball diamond? Ben, why don't we start with you?
Okay. Let me start by saying I am not afraid of bees at all. I've never been stung by a bee, so I'm assuming I can't.
What?
Is that a thing?
I don't know. I'm just.
Did you just decide you have an immunity
to bees? Like a superpower?
Because you've never been stung by one?
They haven't stung me yet.
So.
Wait, hang on. No, wait.
I thought you meant like maybe you had been stung by bees, you just didn't notice because you don't react, but you just think that bees cannot sting you.
I mean, history says they cannot until I'm proven otherwise. Empiricism is
so do you think that like other things that haven't happened to you just can't happen to you?
No, but I've been around a lot of bees. They just haven't stung me.
I mean, I presume you've been around like a lot of sidewalk grates and you've never fallen in one, so you
that's also true.
Never you can
so
and
do
never?
You think you are impervious to that?
History says so.
Okay, well, this has been a fun trip inside Ben Cosman's psyche.
Anyway, so that's why I'm not, I mean, bees are welcome on my baseball field. So I answered this question actually a little different. I imagine not if I was playing on a baseball diamond, but what I'm afraid of happening if I'm at a game or
that's fine.
Baseball. And I was thinking every time I'm at, I go to Yankees games, a few Yankees games every year. I sit in the bleachers, and I always like peering down to the bullpen.
Yeah, I like that.
But I am absolutely terrified that one day I'm gonna peer too far and fall into the bullpen, land on my back, cause a disruption, probably hurt myself in some way.
How far are you leaning into the bullpen?
I lean. I like to, you know, check things out, see the players.
Make sure everything is going okay down there.
Give them some advice.
Yeah, just, you know, say what's up. But I'm afraid that one day I'm going to get a little cocky and lean too far.
Please don't do that.
Yeah.
But you haven't fallen in yet, though, right?
So you never can.
So you're impervious to falling into the bullpen.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. So there you go. There's a good thought for you.
That is reassuring.
Next time you're at Yankee Stadium. Good. I'm glad I could reassure you. That was weird. Gemma, what is your biggest baseball fear? It could be either if you were playing or if you're just a fan. Either way.
I also have no problem with bees, though I have been stung before. I just, whatever.
You're not impervious?
No,
to bees,
no. Bees are fine, whatever. They're okay. Fine. I always think whenever they like swarm on a microphone or something, they should just let the bees have it. Like, okay, yeah. It's yours now. Have a good nest. Bye. The bee population is declining, and we should support
the bees. I
thought
that was a myth.
No.
It's real?
It's real.
Okay. I can't.
Anyway.
Everything I read on the internet just confuses
it's
me.
True. Any of it could be fake. Really, probably we're living in.
You know, Major League Baseball doesn't actually exist.
No.
It's all fan fiction.
Yes. Yeah. So I thought about other bugs, but like recently as I've gotten older, my fear of bugs has really decreased. You know, I was like, okay. Oh, maybe if I was playing and like, there was a Cut 4 post where Captain, the Rangers mascot, this is an old post, but we used a GIF of it recently, has a spider on a string and like dangles it on people, and he puts it on this one guy's head.
No.
And the guy's reaction, he like immediately sees that it's the mascot, but there's like 4 seconds where he doesn't quite know, and he's just horrified because it's a giant spider. So I was like, that would be pretty bad. If I was like playing baseball and a monstrous spider was on me, I think that would be pretty terrible. But as I've gotten older, I've become more adept at getting bugs out of my house and apartment because, like, who else is going to do it, right? You know? So I don't think that would be the worst. I don't think that would cause me to run screaming out of the diamond. This is not necessarily a fear.
So nothing will cause you to run. You have
but
no
fears. No. Here's the thing. As you know, I complain constantly in this office about how cold I am all the time.
That is hence the Astros cardigan.
Yes. So I know a lot. It's not necessarily a fear, but I it would be something that I dreaded.
Just playing in winter.
Playing in the snow. Because it snows in April games. You know? Playing in the snow. It would be horrible. I would be so angry all the time. I would really dread it constantly. I would, like, just not stop whining about it.
But you wouldn't run away.
If I was a fan, I would.
You're fearless, is what you're saying.
I'm sure there's something I just haven't thought about yet.
Yeah. Well, mine's bees. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, I would have reacted the same way as the Blue Jays and Angels. I would have run away. It sounds terrible. Now, granted, they were wearing pants and, you know, full uniforms and everything. They had a glove on. But, like, I don't care what I'm wearing. Even if I was in a beekeeper suit, I would run away. I like bees.
Yeah, haven't you done that as a child?
Yeah. Well, I think I've told the story before, but my dad taught us three-man baseball when I was a kid. It was me, my brother, my dad, and you'd have an all-time pitcher, and then one person would field and one person would hit, or it wasn't all-time. It would be a hitter, a pitcher, a fielder, and you'd rotate between the three. And we were playing, and there was a bee at home plate, and I was like, nope, and I ran away and sat in the car in like 8,000-degree heat in the South, because it's the South and it's a million degrees all the time. And my dad and my mom to this day make fun of me for that. So
there was one bee at home plate?
I assume there were more, but there was one that flew up to me, and I was like, nope, bye. That baseball field, fun fact, torn down, and there's now a grocery store there, and I say good riddance. Even though I like baseball fields and I want there to be more, I want there to be fewer with bees. So
wow, you really hate bees.
I do. I really
hate flowers
bees.
Too, and fruit.
No,
well, how would we have those without bees, Dakota?
You don't have to shame me for my fear of bees. I'm happy that they exist. I just don't want them to sting me. I also feel like they don't need to sting. That's like one of those weird things that nature did that is unnecessary. Why sting people? unless you're Ben and you're immune to it.
Right.
But I don't know. But anyway, but if I was a player, I thought another fear, in addition to bees, something that might be more relatable, is the famous line from Moneyball from Chris Pratt as Scott Hatterberg, a ball being hit in my general direction. That would be a big fear of mine if I were playing baseball because I'm a terrible baseball player now.
This is actually my fear as a fan, too, is that one day I will be acknowledged by one of the players that I'm constantly gesturing at to throw me a ball, and they'll throw it and I'll miss.
Wait, you actually, like, wave to have a ball
thrown
to you?
I never get that close, but when I'm at, like, if I go to BP and I'm sitting in the outfield, I usually go with a friend, and my friends are always, like, yelling at dudes to be like, throw me a ball, and I stand there really embarrassed.
Okay, that's
different. And I'm just really anxious that one day they will acknowledge us and throw a ball at us, and we'll all, like, just totally ruin it.
Probably. Yeah. I was going to say, I was curious about the psychology of somebody who's like, throw me a ball. Like, I get it if you're a kid.
Yeah, I don't
as like an adult, it's
It's mostly adults whenever I go to BP who are doing that. And that's why when I'm there with people who do it, I like stand a couple rows back and pretend I don't know them. Like,
yeah, it's a little weird. It's definitely like one of those strange, and it is, it's fine if you're with a kid and like the kid is sort of shy and doesn't want to ask for, but like, I get that.
I've seen adults like obviously stand in front of children trying to like get balls.
Yeah. Please don't.
I guess they're PSA. Barely adults. I feel like they're always like 19, 20 years old, you know, cause they're like,
I thought
still...
you were like throwing out like a barb at the people.
No, they're just like, they're at that level when they're still like kind of mentally like, I'm a teen, like, these are fun things that I do, and they haven't yet come to the spot where they look at kids and they're like, aw, you know.
That's true. I also think there's a point where, like, even though you're like, I'm not a kid, you still sort of think of yourself as a kid.
Yes.
And, like, you have the privileges of kids.
Treats. Yes. Yeah.
Okay. I want treats.
Do you ask for balls at BP?
No.
Maybe you should.
I'm too busy peering into the bullpen.
Yeah, and not getting stung by bees.
Yeah.
This was the last one I wanted to talk about. I don't think this was last year. I think it was the year before. There was a Yankees Red Sox game that they had to call because it was thunderstorming. Mm-hmm. And there's that video of the Yankees sitting in the dugout as it's thunderstorming. And a bolt of lightning shoots across the sky and a loud clap of thunder echoes through Yankee Stadium. And the Yankees players just like freak out and they grab each other and like they melt. That would be me. I hate thunder and lightning as well, and it probably stems back to being in a hurricane when I was a child.
Yeah, that's scary.
So I find it terrifying, and I would react similarly to them. So those are probably basically nature.
I thought of a real fear that I have.
Oh, okay, what?
I'm genuinely afraid of birds, like genuinely afraid of them.
Really?
When pigeons fly at me, I get really upset. Like, it's disgusting and horrifying, and I just thought you made me think of that time when a pigeon flew at Kevin Kiermaier, and he, like, hit the deck. You remember that?
Yes,
that was the greatest gif of all time. That is actually terrifying to me. And if I was at like AT&T Park when the seagulls started coming in, if a bird wanted my seat, I'd be like, bye, you can have it.
Really? Okay. So
I am actually kind of afraid of birds.
Because that does happen. Like, it's not even that they fly at you like with Kiermaier. Like, they'll just be in the outfield sometimes.
Yeah,
just
I find it when I was at Coney Island recently and there were like mega seagulls hanging out on the
beach.
Is
that
They're
the scientific
huge.
Term?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
They're gigantic and they like peck their beaks into the sand and pull out little crabs and there's blood and it's horrifying.
Wow.
Nature is horrifying.
Nature. Well, that's mine. Thunder, lightning, bees. That's what I'm afraid of. You're afraid of birds. Did you ever see the gif of Starlin Castro trying to catch a bird in his glove? Because would you do that?
No. Because what if I caught it? Oh, my God.
I know. Yeah, I've always wondered what plan, part B of that plan was. Okay, we've gone completely off the rails, but it's time now to sum up the podcast in 140 characters, one tweet that accurately and adequately condenses this podcast down into one bite-sized chunk. Gemma, we're going to start with you. Give us your Twitter recap of our podcast.
Get this month's issue of the Magazine of Fantasy and Sci-Fi featuring David Ortiz riding a great white shark. # Cuff Forecast.
Not really sci-fi, more fantasy, but I'll grant it.
Fine.
We'll allow it. Ben, what do you got?
All right, 140 characters. I'm going to say...
And be advised, Twitter updated their length restrictions now,
true.
So you can include GIFs free of character charge.
Okay. I'm going to do, check out this chill Dodgers fan on the cover of Surfer magazine.
That's probably a thing.
Sure.
I'm pretty sure it's a
magazine. That's a magazine.
Check out this chill Dodgers fan on the cover of Surfer Magazine. But don't read it at the ballpark or you'll get stung by a bee.
Unless you're Ben.
Unless you're me. Hashtag unless you're me.
That was good.
That is a really good one. I would retweet that one. It feels a little long, but I think you're in the. I think you're okay. I think you're in the ballpark.
Yeah.
Okay, mine. Hopefully, there are no bees at the ballpark when I go to see. Hashtag young MLB at Rolling Stone.
That's sad. I feel like you just want an acknowledgement from Rolling Stone.
It does seem like those tweets where people just want to be noticed by like a brand. Yeah, it
but if they all played like a Grateful Dead esque show at like
called Young MLB, that sounds like a jam band name, doesn't it? I like that. Okay. If you have a tweet that's better, you probably have one that's better than mine. Maybe not than Ben's.
Yeah, pretty
much. Not better than mine.
Yeah,
except Ben.
This is a C+ Twitter week. So you have a very good chance of having a better tweet than us. Tweet it at us at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast, and we will retweet the very, very best ones. You can also see all of the articles that inspired these conversations at MLB.com/cut4. If you follow us on Twitter, you'll get a lovely thing to watch while you're watching baseball. It's a nice thing to have next to you while you're watching baseball. I feel like our Twitter feed.
Yeah.
A good second screen experience.
There you go. Then look at Ben.
Hashtag.
If you go to Facebook.com/cut4, we will also appear in your Facebook timeline with helpful and interesting content. This podcast is available on iTunes and many other places that podcasts are downloaded. But if you view us on iTunes and subscribe there, you can write us a review or leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars. If you actually write out the review, we will read it here on this Cut4Cast. No profanity. Ben, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure.
It was a pleasure having you here and learning about your weird imperviousness to bees. Gemma, thank you as always for being here. Hopefully next time you'll wear a jersey when it's jersey day.
You guys didn't tell me.
Yeah, well, you should just know. Ben and I knew. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we will talk to you next week.